Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
The Moist Line is tomorrow. So, last reminder, we're still collecting calls. Use that iHeartRadio app, the microphone icon, to connect to the John and Ken Moist Line. Or, of course, call the old toll free number 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. We're watching what's going on in Sacramento. It's really just for show. They're having special hearings today on the fentanyl problem. Really just entertaining bills that don't do a lot. Mostly the list I saw introduced by Democrats anyway to set up task forces and whatever. But of course, they want to make a show of it to attract attention to the fact that they will not deal with any bill that increases any kind of prison time for people involved in fentanyl, particularly the dealers. We'll have an assembly member, Bill Asaley, coming up after the news at 3 o'clock. We begin this hour with the return to the John and Ken Show of City Councilwoman Tracy Park, who, of course, took over for Mike Bonin, and she represents the vast parts of the West Side, including John's neighborhood. And one of the things she promised in running her campaign is to do something about the homeless problem. She called our attention to a video that's been posted of a fire that apparently broke out inside a public bathroom in Venice. And then she also wants to talk about RVs parked along certain streets in her district.
Tracy, how are you? Thanks for coming on.
Hey, John and Ken, how are you? I'm good, thanks.
All right, you've proposed a resolution to ban the RVs from being parked along streets in Westchester and Mar Vista. Now, is this going to affect the Balboa Wetlands, or this is a Bologna Wetlands rather?
So, thank you for that question. That is a separate effort. Although the RVs parked all over the west side of Los Angeles continue to be a source of real frustration for constituents, business owners, residents, and stakeholders, as well as me personally. And so one of the things that I have been doing is working with local communities to move forward with some of these resolutions to begin the process of trying to get at these RV encampments.
Can I interrupt you a second? I think most people that I've talked with don't understand why you can't just get a tow truck, hook up to the RV, and go take it to somewhere. to an empty city lot, which I'm sure there are plenty of. I mean, it shouldn't require a UN summit meeting to pull this off.
You know, it's astounding that we as local governments continue to get in our own way when it comes to doing what ought to be a relatively simple task of regulating these vehicles and enforcing parking restrictions. I can tell you all the myriad of reasons why it's an issue and what the challenges are, but frankly, at the end of the day, they sound like and they feel like excuses.
Well, they are. Because most of the people in city and county government don't want to tow the RVs. They want to let these people live and keep fouling the Bologna wetlands. That's what they want.
And it is in complete disregard of the fact that these vehicles are choking our congested corridors. They are dumping illegal sewage and garbage into our waterways. And in many cases, not all, but many, they are the source of crime and violence and drug dealing.
Okay, but what I'm getting at here, you have this new resolution for Mar Vista and Westchester. This is the second one you proposed. You also had one for Venice recently, correct? All right, so why isn't there a resolution to deal with the Bologna wetlands and have it enforced the next day after it passes?
So we are going to deal with Bologna wetlands. We have a very large operation that we are pulling the components together to, and that will be a no parking area that is going to be enforced when we're done with that. But that's just one place in a district and a city where every single neighborhood and community is impacted by this. And unlike my predecessor, who refused to move forward with these resolutions, I am actually leaning into this. This is not going to solve the problem. And unless and until the city invests in the budgetary resources and prioritizes this, like the crisis it is, enforcement side of this is going to continue to be a challenge. But here we are in the middle of budget hearings at City Hall, and I would encourage everybody on the West Side to reach out to the mayor and her team and to the members of the Budget and Finance Committee and let them know that we are all sick and tired of this and that we want and we expect the city to prioritize the dollars in a way that aligns with our priority of getting these problems solved.
Who doesn't want to do that? Who doesn't want to spend the money to tow the RVs off the streets?
Well,
it's not that expensive.
There are a number of council members who, if you listen to them in committees and during our council meetings and follow them on social media, it is perfectly clear they do not want the investment into...
Are they a majority?
They are not a majority, but it is going to require a lot of pressure and a lot of work to have this council produce a budget document that aligns with the values and priorities that most Angelenos want.
And also you're getting some criticism from the Venice Stakeholders Association.
Yeah, about not closing the Venice Bridge housing.
They said originally
you made a pledge to do that.
That Garcetti and Bonin pledged to close it after 3 years, and then you pledged in your campaign to close it, and then you changed your mind, and it's going to remain open. And there's a lot of people angry, as I'm sure you know.
I am well aware. And, you know, I just want to acknowledge I hear and understand their concerns and their frustrations about it. Frankly, the way that Councilmember Bonin allowed that facility to operate and the problems it created for the local neighborhood are inexcusable. And I have personally long been in the shut it down camp. This is a decision that I did not take lightly, and I made only after extensive engagement with the community, making it clear to them that now that we have the encampments cleared, I have a partnership from LAPD as well as 4118 protection for the area, as well as new leadership in this office to hold the service providers accountable. I am hopeful that we can move forward until 2025.
Why not close it down?
Is slated to be developed.
Why not close it down, though? What's the argument for keeping it open when nobody in the neighborhood wants it open?
Yeah, I'll tell you why. And it's not everybody. There was a lot of folks who understand pragmatically why the beds are essential. And we all want to see a reduction in street camping. And part of the strategy that we need to move forward with that work is having beds. And that is 154 beds. They are a critical resource. And I'm going to continue to rely on those beds as a resource until we close the bridge down finally and permanently in 2025 and hand the site back over to Metro.
All right. Now, why did you want us to take a look at that video of the bathroom, public bathroom in Venice burning? Was there...
I just was bringing it to your attention because I saw it and I was so profoundly disturbed by it. You know, I was personally out on Oceanfront Walk on Sunday observing the conditions in and around the public bathrooms. I was pretty furious about what I saw. And, you know, just last night, of course, there was yet another fire. And I am calling on LAPD, I am calling on the mayor, and I am calling on other city partners to look at what is happening in Venice, the number one tourist destination in this city, and start to take it seriously with me. We're all sick and tired of this. And I brought it to your attention because I want everybody to rest assured that I see what they see. And I am not happy about any of this either. So I am working with LAPD and our outreach providers. We've got some long-term interventions that we are in the funding process for. But I want right now this problem to stop. And I'm going to keep fighting for that.
You said Karen Bass has worked with you in a positive way to get some progress in Venice. Is she working to influence all these obstructionists on the city council and the obstructionists in the bureaucracy who aren't changing quickly enough and getting these encampments and the RVs off the streets? I mean, it seems like she ought to be taking the public lead and calling people out and saying, look, it's time you start cooperating with us here. It's supposed to be a new day. And I don't hear her speaking out enough on this. I hear a lot of like happy fuzzy talk, but really somebody taking it right to their face and making it clear that these days are over.
Yeah. Well, I will say this. You know, the mayor has made an unprecedented investment in her proposed budget into addressing homelessness. She is prioritizing hiring at LAPD. And she is working closely with our public safety partners at the fire department to ensure that they have the resources that they need. And I think that a budget is a values document. And I am impressed by how she has chosen to prioritize where city dollars are going to go. And I know that some of the allocations that she has proposed are going to be controversial in some circles. But I appreciate her leadership and willingness to make some of those hard decisions that are in the best interest of our entire city.
All right, Tracy, thanks for coming on again. We appreciate talking to you.
All right, you guys, talk to you soon.
All right, Los Angeles City Councilwoman Tracy Park on an effort to ban RV parking overnight certain streets. And like we said, they got to get going on that Biona Wetlands. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Earlier this week, we talked to Tim Hepburn, who's the mayor of Luverne. Remember that interview? And the reason he came on the show, he wanted to talk about concerns that he and also officials in San Dimas had about homeless housing that was going to go up in an unincorporated area pretty much right between the two cities. It was a big building that was going to house 54 people. And the person that was the point person in the middle of this is the L.A. County Supervisor, Catherine Barger. And what Hepburn's concern was that we didn't get any heads up about this. We didn't get any input. We didn't get a chance to fight it. We didn't get anything. Because obviously, since it's not technically within their city limits, they can just go ahead and do this. Well, they got the thing tabled until a supervisor meeting coming up in May. Well, the latest is it's been tabled, period, for now. It's a five-story, 54-unit, permanent supportive housing project for seniors, John, This I didn't know the other day. You have to be working or retired and are experiencing homelessness. And you have to be 55 or older. So it's senior, retired homeless people.
Retired? Retired from homelessness?
Well, you're retired, but then you didn't have enough to make ends meet and you're experiencing homelessness.
I don't trust them. I think that's a cover story. And then what keeps them from changing it to having
nothing
keeps 20-something meth addicts in there?
Right. This is just the way it was proposed.
Yeah. See, I don't blame. How many retired elderly homeless people are there?
Now and then we see these sympathetic stories that they worked their whole life, but they got the retirement. They had no savings.
Really?
They can't afford the rent. They're on the streets.
What? How many decisions, wrong decisions, do you have to make to get to that point? Seriously, everybody I know is thinking about putting money away for their retirement decades
in
advance.
But you're hanging out with a lot of West Side people.
Well, sure.
It's a different crowd than the crowd that scrounges.
What's the difference?
They live in poorer neighborhoods. They never had a job. Well, they could make any money to put any away.
Why didn't they have a job?
They had a job, but it was not enough money to put any away.
Why didn't they?
Low income.
Didn't they develop skills to get a better job?
By opening up the border and opening up the country for cheap labor, we earned this position we're in now. A lot of these people, while they worked, they got nothing for retirement.
I disagree. I don't think there's any excuse. I think no matter what you start in life, you can get somewhere. You just have to do the work for it. You have to do the work, do the planning, make the tough decisions, the discipline. You know, don't go off on drinking and drug benders. Don't go impregnating a bunch of women. Ooh. You know, get up and put in 12 hours every day. And then you look for better jobs. Get skills for the better jobs. Get some education or some technical experience. There's no excuse.
There's
just one person I ever met. I mean, we've interviewed plenty of homeless people, and I see them interviewed in, like, the LA Times, and there isn't any one of them that didn't make 52 bad decisions that led him there. Just bad decisions. So make good decisions. Why is that so hard?
Because what you're asking is never going to happen.
That's not the point.
Is we're stuck with these people because there's always going to be a ton of people making bad decisions.
Because we're always bailing them out. We're always enabling them.
That's exactly
what we're trying to do. Oh, that's okay. I feel sorry for you. No, it's not okay. You are now a parasite on me.
If in your world, you'd let them die of drugs and alcohol in the streets and just lying there.
They didn't.
Or you'd move them to Slab City and let them die there.
They didn't used to be around in these numbers because the whole work ethic in America was different. You know, this did not exist in Northern Jersey. I didn't grow up with a lot of money. Everybody went to work. The dads, the moms, the teenagers, everybody
went to
work.
Because America's in decay.
Okay, well, now we're getting at something.
We lost a lot of the blue-collar jobs that your folks had in those states because it's all done by the Chinese and the cheap labor overseas. The lower end just got eliminated because they don't have the skills to be part of the tech world that the U.S. is more driven by, or the celebrity world, take your pick.
But the celebrity world, yeah.
Whatever else you need to get by, a lot of people that had the lower-skilled jobs are finding... they're on the outs.
I think we just got so used to accepting everybody's sob story and everybody's excuses that it's just normal now. Oh, I understand. That's the reason. It's like, you know what? There's almost no reason for this. There's almost no reason to end up in the street. Not to mention we have, especially in California. In California, you have the most generous safety net in all of America. I mean, there's so much money available to suck out of the government that if you're actually on the street with nothing in your pockets... You know, you have neglected a lot of government resources that would give you money.
Now, remember that story about Koreatown? They were building apartments for the homeless that were hundreds of thousands of dollars each. Remember that story when Garcetti was mayor?
Yeah.
The San Diego Housing Commission wants to buy 3 extended stay hotels with more than 400 rooms. It's going to average out to almost $400,000 a unit.
Okay, that's massive corruption.
You can't do this. And this story in the Union Tribune makes it sound like, well, that's just the way it is. You have to pay that price. In fact, later on in the story, as I scrolled through it, they've already done this before. They bought one place, 95-unit affordable housing, something called the Amasur Apartments in Linda Vista, $538,000 a room. Oh, God, no.
No, that's... That's got to be, somebody's getting a sweet deal there on the other end.
Supposedly it's Veteran Affairs supportive housing vouchers from the Housing Commission. they got the money from. So I guess it's supposed to be for veterans to live in.
Who knows? Veterans. Again, that's another good cover story. If it isn't elderly homeless, now it's veteran homeless. Who knows?
If that's usually what they tell us. Yes.
Right, exactly.
And it's usually women with children.
Right. Well, those are the categories that are unassailable. You're not supposed to criticize them. You sound like a meanie. It's like, well, don't you want housing for veterans? It's like, oh, are they really veterans? I mean, how do we know a year from now there's going to be hundreds of veterans in these buildings? We don't know that. Same thing with the elderly. Same thing with women and children. What I see on the street, I don't see veterans. I don't see women and children. I don't see elderly.
Well, you did when you were over by the VA there with your problem.
The VA, right. And the VA took those people in.
Although you doubted some of them were really veterans.
So I don't think they were all veterans on the street, but there are now dozens and dozens of tiny homes on the veterans' land where they're staying. And that could have been done day one. It didn't have to sit there for 4 years. See, a lot of this is just nobody in government bothers to do their job. Because one day they did their job, they cleaned it up in a day, these tiny homes are up in a day, and there hasn't been any trouble since. So right. Why'd you wait 4 years?
Well, we don't have the money to be buying up expensive hotel rooms at $400,000 a room for homeless people. No. And as you famously say every time, we'll be overrun with people coming to California looking for their $400,000 room.
Yeah, I know.
Wait. Honestly, if that word gets out, that's crazy. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Yeah, don't forget to connect to the Moist line for a possible inclusion in tomorrow's calls. You can connect by using the iHeartRadio app, That's the microphone icon, or call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Coming up after 3 o'clock, well, we'll talk about what's not happening on fentanyl in Sacramento. They made a big deal by letting the media know today with special hearings on bills dealing with the fentanyl crisis in California, but the ones that probably would have the most impact already got killed by the Public Safety Committee. We talked a lot about Alexandra's Law. That's dedicated to a young woman named Alexandra Capaluto, who died of a drug overdose. She thought she was getting some opioids, but they were laced with fentanyl. She did it through social media, and she died of an overdose. Her father has been pushing the bill to go after fentanyl dealers who get one break. First time you do it, you won't be charged with homicide, but the next time someone dies, we're coming after you. That bill died. So there's some other bills, but they're not as powerful. But they want to act like they're doing something. So we'll talk about this after 3 o'clock. Good headline in the New York Post. Man allegedly posts video of himself engaging in sex with dog. That's something you want to spread around, huh? Did that go viral?
Probably.
You're going to share that with friends and family. Thumbs up.
I bet she gets a lot of hits.
That's disgusting.
He probably got more hits today than you did.
I didn't post anything today, so you're right.
Charged with committing crimes against nature, Cody Sprague, 31, of North Carolina.
I don't know.
Belonged to the suspect and his girlfriend. It was unaware of what
happened. I thought we were in an anything goes time sexually.
Not with animals.
No, that's not
it. They don't have a choice.
Okay. All right.
You're going to have this debate?
I'm just checking. I'm checking to see where we are. There's so many social changes going on day by day.
That is never going to be acceptable.
You don't think?
No.
I bet you it will someday.
Better not. I'll be out there with my signs and God knows what else.
Yesterday, we talked about the unbelievable story of the civilian employee with the Santa Monica Police Department who supposedly went on to molest more than 200 children. You did hear me correctly, 200. His name is Eric Uller. He's dead. The whole thing fell apart back in 2018 as they were moving in on him. He killed himself. But beginning in the late 80s, he got a position in the police department as a civilian employee. He was like a tech guy. But eventually he got involved in what they call the Police Activities League in Santa Monica, which gave him access to young children, mostly boys, and he molested over 200 of them. The city is paying out $122.5 million to settle the hundreds of claims. Today's outrage is this. In 1991, they did a background check on him. They found out he was arrested as a teenager for molesting a toddler that he babysat. They waved it off, let him go on. There was the first red flag.
There were a number of red flags because various people reported suspicious behavior because he was befriending some of these young boys and they would become his boyfriend. And he was traveling with them out in the open, taking them around.
In official police cars, too.
Right, like an unmarked police car that was outfitted with equipment.
He was the son of a pretty high-end doctor in Santa Monica, and he apparently was a tech whiz.
Mm-hmm.
I think for all these reasons, he got a pass because they thought he was doing great work helping them with their tech problems.
Well, it's something Brian Claypool, who was the attorney yesterday who represented a lot of the victims. By the way, there were two settlements, and the total amount of money is $229 million for the two settlements. $229 million. It's over 200 kids. And what Brian Claypool was talking about, and the LA Times fleshed it out in a story that ran late yesterday, is that the chief of police back then was James Butts, who's now the mayor of Inglewood. He's become very well known because he's been the mayor while Inglewood has been on this construction spree, SoFi Stadium being built, the Clippers Arena being built, and so on. So he's now a celebrity mayor because he's brought so much wealth and so much activity. But he was the police chief, and there were a lot of Santa Monica cops who knew what was going on, and they covered.
Butts said he never
guy.
Heard anything about Uller.
I don't believe his response. I don't believe him.
Didn't hear any complaints.
I don't believe that.
There was a 1983 juvenile booking for Uller. It was a 4-year-old boy he was babysitting. When asked to explain, apparently years later, Uller was asked to explain. He was 23 at the time. He was asked to explain. Because again, because it was a juvenile arrest, you know, you really have to dig to find a juvenile booking record. That's, they really want to protect juveniles. He said, it was a long time ago and nothing happened. His father, a prominent doctor in Santa Monica, supported his son.
Mm-hmm. Well, you always...
Uller's stepmother, though, said she was concerned about what happened, didn't know whether or not anything had done, but she hoped it was an adolescent phase. He'd grown out of it.
Boy, that's an ignorant...
The boy in question was the son of a business partner of the father, Robert Uller.
Nobody, I guess it is so icky to hear about a grown man having sex with a young child that most people turn away, pretend they didn't see it, hear about it.
It's got to be a mistake, right?
Come up with bizarre excuses or rationalizations why it just can't be. It's got to be because the act is so repulsive, nobody wants to accept it, and nobody wants to deal with it in their lives. They have a PAL employee named Michelle Cardiel. She told a sheriff's detective that there was one child who went everywhere with Eric Uller, and it seemed odd. And the sheriff's investigators looked into it.
Is there a 1995?
1995. Because the boy told Michelle Cardiel that Uller had offered to help clean his penis because his father is a doctor. And that was reported to a cop named Jay Trisler. And Trisler said he would investigate. She also told her PAL boss, Patty Loggins, who told Cardiel that Cardiel would be written up if she kept spreading workplace gossip.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Thanks, Patty.
And now the LA Times called Trisler and Patty Loggins. Oh, they didn't return messages for comment.
Cardiel said Uller approached her, said the interaction he had with the boy had been inappropriate, begged her not to mention it again. Wow.
And Brian Claypool was theorizing that because he worked in IT for the cops, he had access to all their emails.
Yeah, so he may have had the goods on him.
Yeah. Whatever dirty stuff was going on in the department, and every department has lots of dirty stuff, everybody was afraid that Uller would gain revenge by releasing all the police department's garbage.
Yeah, I mean, they were investigating him back between 1991 and 1993, even before this 1995 thing. He joined in 89. Yeah, so within 4 years, they had all sorts of stories floating around, and everyone just ignored them.
Yeah, well, because they didn't care. And another thing is, as Claypool said, many of the kids were immigrant children, probably Hispanic immigrant children, and the cops just didn't value those kids.
Yeah, this guy became the principal systems analyst for the city's information technology department. And as we mentioned, in 2009, he was awarded the Santa Monica Rotary Club's Public Service Award. Nice.
They give awards to child molesters, you see?
Unbelievable. And some of his victims recalled he would even turn on the police lights and sirens as he drove them home. And there you go. It's the molest siren.
So much for the phony left-wing politics of Santa Monica, huh?
Yeah, really.
All you needed is one person to really make a stink about Eric Uller in the police department, and nobody cared.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Tomorrow, the Dodgers return home to take on the Cardinals. First pitch at 7 o'clock. Listen to the game and all the games on HD on the free iHeartRadio app, live from the Galpin Motors broadcast booth, keyword AM 570 LA Sports. Somebody's got to rewrite these lines. They're confusing.
Intriguing international news this afternoon.
What's
to
that?
Give you. The German newspaper Bild, B-I-L-D, has reported that the Ukrainians tried to kill Putin with a killer drone.
Is that right? Yeah, see?
Yeah.
I've been pushing for that.
But unfortunately, it crashed short of the target.
Oh.
Ukrainian Secret Service launched what is described as a UJ-22 drone loaded with C4 explosives last Sunday. Intelligence gathered said that Putin would be making an appearance at something called the Rudnivo Industrial Park. Instead, the drone exploded about 12 miles away on the outskirts.
It was on its way?
It was on its way. Yeah, but it didn't make it.
Why did it explode? Did the Russians shoot it down?
There's a picture, too, of it. It's like a little tiny plane. What?
Did the Russians shoot it down?
No, it had a... It had some sort of a failure.
Oh, wow.
Operational failure.
Oh.
Because it says it got by. It drove through the defenses of the Russian Federation, but it fell not far from the industrial. Yeah. Ran out of gas? I don't know.
I told you to put gas in it.
Yeah, something just it came up short of the mark.
Oh, that's too bad.
It doesn't look like, though, if it had all those explosives, wouldn't it have exploded into pieces? This is the picture I'm looking at. It's upside down, but most of it's intact, except for the front part.
I don't know.
It's got little tiny wheels. I don't know.
Were they going like, to fire a missile at it, I guess, or was it a kamikaze?
No, it was a kamikaze. It's C4 explosive. Oh, it was just going to land in the park near him and just blow up.
Just fly right at his head?
Yeah. They're all going to be like, oh, look, he's a drone. How cute. No.
Well, that was very effective during the terrorism wars.
Yeah.
You want to take out a leader, just flutter a drone overhead. They look up and it's like, uh-oh.
There are many who believe that if you get rid of Putin, this thing could come to an end because there are just so many others in the Russian government who don't like this, but just have to keep quiet because they'll end up.
Sure. Just let all the kids die. You see how evil and cowardly people are? You know how many thousands and thousands of young men have been killed in Russia? For what?
It's amazing.
And all the adults...
When are they going to have their Vietnam moment and just say enough of this?
I don't know. I mean, we were mocking the morons in the Santa Monica Police Department for letting that child molester go on for decades. Look at this. It's not even secret. It's right in front of our eyes. In fact, they don't even bury the bodies. They have portable incinerators now that go with the units, the Russian military units. And when guys get shot up dead, they're just thrown into the incinerator and they just become a puff of ash. and if you're the parents, your kid just never comes back home. Hey, where'd he go?
In other international news... Once again, our Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas stated that the border is secure. He made an appearance today, a news conference, in fact, along with the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, to announce, well, if the migrants are coming to us, trying to get into the United States, let's go to them. We're going to open up processing centers for actual little offices in Colombia and Guatemala. So that people can go there and apply for entry into the U.S. rather than flooding the border through Mexico. That's the big plan.
But they'll still be here. They're still going to come here.
Oh, well, allegedly, they'll process you and see if you qualify to come here.
Oh, really?
The U.S. Refugee Admissions Program. No? It says they will be screened for eligibility.
They got a million of them. Well, now Biden has this response for his campaign when he's questioned about the border, and he can start babbling about the U.S. refugee agency and the protocols they've set up in these various countries, the processing centers.
So now we're opening up a bureaucracy. We're going to have to send people down there to open up a brand new office in Guatemala to process people. Some people don't like that because they feel like once you start collecting information on them, they'd rather just enter the country illegally and quietly and not be known that they're here.
Yeah. Well, there's always that option. You don't have to, but it's
because they'll be suspicious. So once they get my name and information, they'll tell me that I have status, and then they'll take it away and deport me. Mm-hmm. I mean, not these things are true, but these are the fears of many people from those countries, Central America, that come here, that eventually the John Cobalt mob will catch up and deport me if I give them any information on me. So they often like to remain off the radar and not apply publicly like this. The whole reason for this is, and how many times we talk about this, Title 42 is supposed to go away on May 11th. Now, Title 42
gave them the
chance to deport people immediately because of the public health emergency of COVID, that this came back to, this is 2020, this was issued.
This is another public relations distraction. It's like a Newsom's blue ribbon panels. That's all.
Right.
It's a fake agency with fake offices, and whenever anybody says, hey, Title 42 is ending, what are you going to do? We're going to have a big surge. Oh, no, we have these centers that they're going to...
That's right. It's like... Everything will be orderly. Yeah. Don't worry, there won't be a flood at the border, because now they can walk into an office and apply for entry.
All they're doing is
That's
lying.
That's nonsense. And the smugglers will just go away. No. Everything will be cleaned up.
Yeah. But... You know, whenever I walk by a group of people, I see most of them just scrolling on their phone, and I look over their shoulders what they're scrolling on, and it's their social media pages, and it's texts, or it's like some stupid screen game that they're playing.
Right.
That's where America's at. None of them know what's going on.
Here are the alleged rules. Citizens of Venezuela, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Cuba can apply for lawful entry if they have a financial sponsor, and as long as they do not cross the Panama, Mexico, or U.S. land borders without authorization. So a financial sponsor, that means what? Somebody in the U.S. is going to take care of you and make sure you're not a burden?
No. Yeah. Yeah, my dad had one. He had a Catholic organization. That was the old way of legally admitting refugees and immigrants.
I think that's still happening. I understand that many charitable organizations or religious organizations are the ones that are showing up to take the migrants that have all been flooding in through Mexico. They take them and the charities take them and find them a place to live for now and set them up. That's what I've been reading. Because I wondered, all these people that are at the border that they're not detaining, where do they go?
Well, there used to be the law, the policy was you had to prove that you were not going to be a burden on the public treasury. Right. And Trump reinstated that law during his term, that nobody could come in and just start getting money from the government. Right. I don't know how effective it was changing that rule, but that was his public relations thing.
All right, when we return, we'll be talking to Bill Aseli. He's an assemblyman from the Inland Empire, about what's going on in Sacramento. Today was the day where they were finally going to allow big public hearings on some bills, legislation dealing with the fentanyl crisis. But when you hear the details, these are not the important bills. More coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark, live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
See new things. Try new things. Go back centuries while living in the moment. Forge new paths while discovering old ones. Pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at avalonwaterways.com. Avalon is cruising. Elevated.